Shalom, this is Stefan Yah on Yahweh Yahweh. So in Malachi chapter 3, we're going to kind of zoom right ahead here because there's a global warming coming, a great global warming. And it's spoke of in the book of the Revelation, but here in Malachi, the last book of the in the Protestant order of the older scriptures. Chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger. Who is that messenger? My, my, my. Well, I think you know who it is. Yes, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the and it says L-O-R-D. So he shall prepare the way before me, and Yahweh, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, to his tabernacle. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith Yahweh of armies. It says here, Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Let's see if we have a song back there. Who may abide in the day of Yahweh? By Tim, somebody. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. So he's going to burn out the dross. He's going to boil out the impurities and the strange religions, the immorality, the idolatry in my life and your life. The purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahweh, as in the days of old, as in former years. Now where it says, Lord, I use the word instead of the title, I use the name of Yahweh. Some use Yahweh, some use Jehovah, some use Yahovah, which is very similar to our Yahweh, very, very similar. So, and that is only a difference of pronunciation between Yahweh and Yahovah. There's no spelling that's changed there at all. Malachi 3:5, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. So that kind of activity is happening now, as we'll read here in the New Age movement. And against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. Whoops. Against the problems with those who oppress the widow and the fatherless, the orphans, that is, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith Yahweh of armies. For I am Yahweh, I change not. That goes along with James 1:17. With the Father there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And with another scripture, Hebrews 13, referring to our Messiah, and that is Yahweh's Son. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is in Malachi 3, 3:6. For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Oh, yes to that. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of armies. But you said, wherein shall we return? Then it gets into the tithing issue here, that we should not rob Yahweh. And, we've all, probably most of us have been guilty of robbing Yahweh at one time or another. So we need to tithe a tenth of our income. Those on Social Security, it's up to your conscience, but I do believe that a tenth of that can be given to Yahweh out of our heart. And to whom will we give it? We want to give it to Yahweh, but we don't just indiscriminately give it to any church. Oh, anyway, verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, if you shall keep the law of tithing. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. All you nations, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. There's another promise there for you. Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahweh. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh. What profit is it? You know, what fun, what entertainment, what fellowship, what food is there in it if we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts, of armies. Oh, yes, it's so mournful to keep these feast days. Oh, it's, yes, it's so joyful to keep the feast days, in fact. For the most the boss doesn't really care for it. Some of the employees, they're probably getting a little bothered there. But anyway, state law says that they have to honor our request to take the day or days off of feast days. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his substitute name. No, that thought, no, of course it doesn't. Thought upon his name, his true name, not a substitute. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of armies, in that day when I make up my jewels. That's you. That's the body, the bride of Messiah there, the body of Messiah. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Yes, there will be some judging about our behavior, and that's acceptable. We can judge one another's behavior if it's way, way off. If you know, people are not showing up at all at any assembly for Sabbath days, if they just sort of trail off and go away, but you know, to just throw up our hands and say, well, I give up, I can't do it. Well, that's certainly abandoning the faith once delivered to the emissaries. Keeping the Sabbath, well, that's in the New Testament. That's Hebrews chapter 4. That's the book of Acts. What did we count? About 20-some times that the seventh-day Sabbath was actually kept. I've got to look that Hebrews 4 up, just because there was a preacher the other day that I heard, I had recorded an MP3, and I couldn't believe it, that he took out the word the seventh day. So I got to, and I didn't have the scriptures in my hand, I was driving at the time. It's okay, so here it is, Hebrews 4:4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works. So he spake in a certain place. He specified a certain place of the seventh day, not the first day of the week. It was the seventh day of the week was the day that he rested from creation, and he set it apart. He made it pure, is what he did. And Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works. He never changed that to the first day of the week. And even though occasionally a feast day might fall on the first day of the week. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 7, again he limits, or he specifies, but I like this word limit after all in the King James. He limits a certain day, saying in David today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, for if Yahusha ben Nun, it says here Jesus, but if Yahusha ben Nun had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day, such as the first day of the week? I inserted that parenthetical comment in there. There therefore remaineth a rest to the people of Yahweh. Now another place that they twisted the scripture, that this gentleman preacher twisted, was he made this to apply to the year of Jubilee, every 50th year to the year of Jubilee. But it wasn't the subject here at all. It wasn't about the year of Jubilee that I can tell anywhere. If you can go into your software, into your Greek there, and look up any of those words there, the seventh day and Sabbath days, here it is, a keeping of Sabbatismos, or ceasing, but it doesn't say anything about the year of Jubilee. It refers to the seventh-day Sabbath, if anything, but it could refer to all the feasts. that we should enjoy this. Verse 10, for he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as Yahweh did from his, back in Genesis. So is there Jesus, just a loving Jesus? We see here in Revelation 16 about Yahushua the Son. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven messengers, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of Yahweh upon the earth. Oh, that loving Jesus there. No, it's he is a mighty one of balance, of perfect judgment, perfect righteousness. And he must burn out the dross out of our lives. And some who just don't want to be saved, don't want to submit to Yahweh as the sovereign one, well, they're just going to have to be falling by the way. And listen here. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. The second messenger poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The third messenger poured out the vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. I heard the messenger of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Yahweh, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, or emissaries and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Yahweh, sovereign almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The judgments are found in Exodus 21 through 23, and they include the feast days and laws about sexual purity. True and righteous are thy judgments. Of course, this could also refer to the judgments in 19, verse 2 of the book of the Revelation. Verse 8. Revelation 16:8. The fourth messenger poured out his vial upon the sun. And here's what I'm really looking forward to. Liberals, I'm looking forward to your global warming. And this is the global warning right now about the warming. The power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. So the fourth messenger poured out his vial upon the sun. Power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of Yahweh, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory or esteem. The fifth messenger poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And they blasphemed Yahweh of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The sixth, and this is really hard, this is punishment, the sixth messenger poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Oh, frogs are still unclean in the New Testament? Certainly. And they came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of Yahweh Almighty. Now notice their messianics, that these spirits are working miracles. There's a lot of new miracles, a lot of new movements coming into the fellowships. And we need to be cautious about some of this and examine everything by the word of Yahweh, not how we feel or not about circumstances around us. 15. Behold, I came as a thief. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Yes, we want to keep our garments in righteousness, the robe of righteousness that Yahushua, the Son of Yahweh, gives us. And he gathered them together into a place called, in Hebrew, Armageddon. And the seventh messenger poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And the great Babylon came in remembrance before Yahweh to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of her wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent, or 100 pounds in English. And men blasphemed Yahweh because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. That's the end of the 16th chapter. Then the next verse. And there came out of the seven messengers which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto him, or unto me, come hither. And me here, referring to John, the revelator. Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. And then skipping to verse 15, referring here to Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest were the whore, where the whore sits, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. Another place in the scriptures about the great global warming, and a warning about the warming, is in 2 Peter. And we look at 2 Peter chapter 2, 17. And there are those who are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. Bondage, you see, is not keeping the law, but breaking Yahweh's law of love. The Ten Commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. It's all the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Behold, I change not, we read there in Malachi. For if after they escaped through the pollutions, they escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh's Savior, Yahusha, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning, where it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the pure commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So, then we skip here to 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all separated conversation and goodliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens, being on fire, praise Yah for the global warning about this, being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. An account of the long-suffering of Yahweh is salvation. Our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, speaking things that are, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Unto their own destruction. See Psalm 56:5. So much there for the warning today. Well, we'll probably have a little bit more than that, though, to go along with what we've already read. So I'm looking now in Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's found in Jeremiah 17:9. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sits on the eggs and hatches them not, so he that gets riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Then in the next chapter, in Jeremiah 18, and there are those who contend that we don't need the Messiah. Even some are leaving the Son of Yahweh, the Messiah who died for us historically, and many died for that truth, that the Son died for us on the stake at Calvary. Many millions died for that truth there and for the scriptures. And yet they have the audacity to say that there is no son of Yahweh, or that if there is, it's either Israel or it's David, and not Yahushua, the Messiah. At what instant, this is 18:7 in Yeremiyahu, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So all we have to do is just turn from our evil, and then Yahweh will not count our sin against us, according to that scripture that's isolated from all the other scriptures. That, you know, we need to locate all the scriptures having to do with the subject of how to turn from our sins and how to be forgiven. We can't just look at one and say, ah, there it is. I'm going to hit enter. I'll copy the scripture, hit enter, send it to all the pastors, the Christian pastors around America, and tell them that we don't need the Messiah, because all we have to do is, well, just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we'll save ourselves. We'll repent of our evil without even help from the Ruach HaKadosh. If we do it, then our sins are forgiven. Is that right? Well, I can see by just observation that you cannot fully keep Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and judgments that pertain to you. If you're a male, the statutes that apply to you, female, the ones that apply to you, and so on, to the Levites only, the ones that apply to them, but we all need to keep these commandments of love of Yahweh, the commandments, statutes, and judgments. We all need to keep the feasts and the Sabbath days, and we all need to tithe and refrain from immorality and idolatry. Those all apply to us, and all those Ten Commandments. At what instant, verse 7, what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and destroy it of that nation against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, then it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Well, just the point that I was making, that it is not possible to keep all the commandments, statutes, and judgments. We're going to fall because we are only human. We have Adam's nature, that fallen nature, and we're not totally converted until that new covenant is totally written in our hearts and in our minds. And so we haven't got the perfect human being yet that was filled with the Spirit, and that is 100% perfect. So when he makes that one mistake and falls, he or she, or they, maybe I could say, they are guilty of having broken Yahweh's law. They have no repentance in that. They've continued to do that sin. So what? So we need mercy. We need Yahweh's mercy. And we're thankful that he sent his son. And there are so many scriptures that pertain to his son, and only his son, not to David, not to Israel, and that we must look forward in these prophetic passages of Scripture to our Messiah, that he has such mercy, and he sacrificed himself on the tree at Calvary, that we don't need an animal as a sin offering to die for us, as an animal to try to temporarily alleviate our sin, our great sin debt or account. Our account needs to be settled some way or another, and Yahweh has provided the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, that he even provided for Abraham in the book of Genesis, that he provided the ram that was caught in the thicket, and Abraham sacrificed that lamb, but that was just an old animal, you know, that Yahweh sent his own son to die for us on the tree at Calvary. And that's a historical fact. So if the nation does evil in his sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good whereof I said I would benefit them. Therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from your evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. It's just giving up, like dropping like matchsticks these days, like flies. They're just all dying left and right everywhere we look. Who is keeping the commandments of Yahweh? What fellowship is there that is seeking Yahweh with all its heart and that has great scriptural leadership of people who are qualified to be leaders in that assembly? Where are they? Why do we have to get off on tangents of doctrines of man-made things? Why don't we stick with the scriptures? Where are the tokens of our virginity, the Hebrew apparel that men should have when they are up in the pulpit preaching, that they should be anointed by Yahweh, should be selected, called, elect, and chosen? Where are they these days? Well, they are here and there. Yahweh still has a remnant. Verse 13, therefore thus saith Yahweh, ask you now among the heathen, who has heard such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which comes from the rock of the field, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Also see 6:16 about the ancient paths there. Yes, when you're out in the forest, there are some paths that have been abandoned, but there are some old-timers like myself who still know how to get there from point A to point B. And if it weren't for somebody, some pathfinder out there, can't think of the other word for it, but at my age, I'm not going to blame myself, but anyway, to be able to get somebody to search out these places, these old ways, the ancient paths, and I apply that here to the scriptures, to go way back. Look back just 60 years, and what did we do then? And why are we so different from then, from that time? We're no longer honoring Yahweh's sovereignty. Yes, and that he calls, elects, and chooses us. Just because the Calvinists go to an extreme, some of them might go to an extreme in these doctrines about election, it doesn't mean that we're going to cast away the doctrine of election, because Yahweh says that he elects, calls, and chooses you. I'm not going to throw that doctrine out of my life. I'm here for a certain purpose, perhaps in these last days, to be able to make a difference with somebody or various people, possibly. Wow. This is a very integral part of being a part of the body of Messiah. Whoa. That's something. That you are here today, and I'm here today to make a difference in the land. Maybe just a little tiny difference, but who knows the impact that your ministry might have on others, on the things that you say day to day and bring up these scriptures. Let's go to 18. That's 18:18. They said, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Such a crazy, rebellious attitude. Chapter 19, 13, they burned incense unto all the host of heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto other Elohim. 15, so skipping 14 there, to 15, you can read the other. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, mighty one of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. There's so many warnings about the great global warming coming. We need to turn from our sins. So Job chapter 10, Job 10, 14. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I sin, thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. So that's Job talking there in chapter 9, verse 1. Job answered, and that's a continuation in chapter 10 of Job's speech there to his so-called friends, that they weren't a whole lot of help to anybody. There's also a scripture here that I don't know if I can come to mind right now or not, but it talks about that, I think it's Deuteronomy 28, that our children will be taken from us. And that is happening all over in the county court systems of America, that Yahweh is not only scattered us, but so much evil has come upon us. Yeah, here it is, 28. Wow, there it is. Thank you. Okay, let's see. Well, it's talking about obedience versus disobedience in Deuteronomy chapter 28, or Debarim. Okay, so there's certain key ones here that I'll read, and you can read all the rest. You can fill in the spaces that I skip up here, but I'll tell you when I skip. Let's start here at 28:13. And we're going to still get to the subject about the New Age here pretty quick. Now, I've already warned you and read the scriptures, and you know the commandment to refrain from idolatry. And you know that idolatry is going to continue to promulgate in the earth, in churches and assemblies and fellowships, such as the Messianic fellowships, and the prosperity doctrine, the name it and claim it, and all that crazy stuff. So Deuteronomy 28:12. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. This is if you're blessed. And Yahweh shall make thee the head and not the tail. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other Elohim to serve them. But if it come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto Yahweh, to the voice of Yahweh thy mighty one, or sovereign one, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. So that's verse 16, so I skip way over here to the right-hand side of my page. Verse 41, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. So that I would apply to the county court systems, taking away, even from good parents, taking the children away. And what do I mean by good parents? I don't know. But anyway, those who are, you know, as we observe, they're trying their best, quote unquote. It's not really our best. Part of verse 45 here toward the end, hearkening not unto the voice of Yahweh to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder upon thy seed forever. Some will say, well, this doesn't apply to me because this is the Old Testament. Well, then none of this applies to you, ma'am? Come on now. This is good. This definitely applies to you. I can prove it, but right now I'm not going to take the time to do that because we've already studied that. There's many, many other places you could study whether or not these verses are applicable. The Deuteronomy 28 is applicable to you and to me. Even if I called myself a Gentile, they'd still apply to me, and that can be proven 100% there. Don't worry about that now. Verse 49, Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth. So there they are. There's the Muslims coming in and into Europe and into America soon. Swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Well, we'll just have a big tea party and get the Republicans in control again and run the clock back 20 years. Yeah, I don't know. That could help a little bit, but not in my book. That's not going to really help anybody. I don't want to go back to the Republican Party in America of 20 years ago, of the year 2000. Verse 54, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom, toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall devour. Well, I don't want to say that word there. You can read it. 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of the law that are written in the book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. And it says, the Lord thy God, so we'll correct that, Yahweh, thy sovereign, so that thou mayest fear this powerful or splendid and fearful name, Yahweh, thy sovereign. We leave out the article, the, unless you want to keep that there, the Yahweh, thy sovereign, Then Yahweh will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. 61. Every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Yahweh bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So, boy, there's just no hope if we, this person that says, well, I don't need Yahweh's son to save me and to help me. I can just help myself. I'm going to just turn on my own and perfectly keep Yahweh's law. And my attitude is perfect. Well, it turns out that this person doesn't even recognize the authority of the Scripture. He doubts this and that, and he can judge for himself with his perfect mind that millions of other men and women, with their perfect minds, judge contrary to him and in all different kinds of fashions. So he's judging which Scriptures are true and which are not. Well, that's pretty pluralistic. And Yahweh shall scatter, and also using higher criticism, to judge the word. Yahweh shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou, thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but Yahweh shall give thee then a trembling heart, and the failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear night and day, and shall have none assurance of thy life. Oh, I want to have assurance in Yahweh that he is going to keep me, that he is committed to keep me unto that very day. 67, the next verse. In the morning thou shalt say, would Yahweh it were even. And even thou shalt say, would Yahweh it were morning. At even time you'd say, oh, I wish it were the morning. Yeah. I'm kind of tired. Maybe I do wish it were morning after a good night's sleep. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see, and Yahweh shall bring thee into Egypt again, into the back of the land of sin. Again with ships, by the way, whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more. Oh, you can't go back to your own promised land. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Mm-hmm. Well, we need the great miracles, the covenant of Yahweh, that he writes his covenant in our hearts and our minds, and that we can rely upon his mercy and blessing and his shalom, and that our name will not be blotted out from under heaven. And Yahweh will spare us, and his anger, his jealousy will not smoke against us, and the curses written in the book will not lie upon us, but that all things will be forgiven if we repent and just in honest eagerness turn unto Yahweh Messiah and be released from the bondage and the captivity of listening to man, to man's ways, and being in the bondage of the world. The secret things belong unto Yahweh, our Mighty One, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, of this Torah. The secret things belong unto Yahweh, but those things which are revealed among us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of Torah. That's Deuteronomy 29:29. After my quick break, we will be launching into that short but needful lesson about the New Age from Foundation Magazine. But first of all, how about a little quick break for you? He Makes No Mistake from Fundamental Evangelistic Association. He makes no mistake. My father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know he makes no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. There's no may about it, they do. But still, I trust Yahweh to lead, for he does know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all, in him. He makes no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift. For by and by the mist will lift. and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake.